Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Father, we once again thank you for your word. And God, we ask that we would hear from you by the power of your Spirit, that you would apply the words of the book of Acts and other places in your word to our hearts and minds today. And we do pray that you would awaken us, that you would excite us about your word, and that we would pursue you in your word like never before. Pray that for myself. Pray that for all the members, all the visitors, everyone here. We pray, O God, that your Spirit would so work in us and excite us about you and your word, that we might find you in it. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. So the point of this sermon is to excite you about the sufficiency and power of God's word, and to encourage you to pursue God in His Word in the coming year, 2020, like you have never pursued Him before. And to do that this morning, we are going to take a survey of the book of Acts and see how throughout the book of Acts, what is said in Acts 6, 7 happens. And the Word of God continued to increase. What does that mean? It means that the influence of the Word of God continued to increase upon the people, that people were becoming obedient to the Word of God. They grew in their love for the Word of God, in their submission to the Word of God, in their reverence for the Word of God. And you see in the rest of the verse, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. This is the effect of the Word of God going forth by the power of the Spirit. Disciples are made and multiplied, and even priests became obedient to the faith. The focus this morning will be on the written and spoken Word of God, because it is through the written and spoken Word of God that the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is known and heard and understood. And you're going to see that the focus in the book of Acts is on the written and the spoken Word of God going forth, that people might come to know the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. We don't focus on the Word of God here because this is your pastor's hobby horse, or this is what American Christians do, or this is what Philadelphian Christians do, that they have this fixation on the Word of God, written, spoken. No, we focus on the written and spoken Word of God because we see that focus in the New Testament church. When everything began, we see a fixation on the written and spoken Word of God that brings us to Christ. Point number one, the Word of God must be fulfilled, and it guided the early church. Acts 1, 15 through 16 and 20 through 22. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his place.'" So here in the very beginning of the book of Acts, you see that a new disciple had to be chosen to take Judas's place. And where do the apostles go to find direction for what they should do? They go to the written Word of God. They go to the Scripture. "It is written, it is written, it is written," Jesus said when he made war against the devil. Jesus, the Son of God, made war against the devil by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." How much more should we take up the written Word of God, the Scripture? And here we see in Acts chapter 1, Peter going to the Scripture. The Scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke. Do you want to hear the Holy Spirit this morning? Read the Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks through the written word. It's right there in the early church. The Holy Spirit spoke before and by the mouth of David. God's words are given to us through men. David spoke. The Holy Spirit spoke through David concerning Judas. And he quotes from the book of Psalms and gets his direction that another man should take his office. The word of God must be fulfilled. God will bring to pass all of His promises. And we see that here. They go to the Scripture to say, this must be fulfilled. All that God has said in Scripture must be fulfilled, must happen. God will keep His promises. And the Scriptures, the Word of God, guided the early church. Let another take his office, so we must choose another to take Judas's place. Beloved, the Bible still does this today. What the Bible says, the Word of God, will still be fulfilled today. There are things yet to come that must be fulfilled, and God will do it. And God's Word still guides us today. And so we read. We take up and read to know Him and to be guided in life. Point number two, the Word of God is the source and content of Christian preaching. The Word of God is the source and content of Christian preaching. Let's go to a sermon in the book of Acts and see how the apostles preached. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 36. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 36. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." So when Peter preaches, where does he go? He's going to preach a sermon from the book of Joel. He's going to quote the Scripture, the written Word of God, that we might know Christ. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And then he quotes, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says, he goes back to the Scripture concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out on this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And so in this this first sermon, one of the first sermons in the book of Acts, one of the first Christian sermons we have, where does Peter go over and over and over again? To the Scripture. To the written Word of God to explain to people who Jesus is and what He has done. The Word of God is the source and content of Christian preaching. Point number three, the Word of God must receive our devotion. The Word of God must receive our devotion. Acts 2:42, just moving along through the book. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which we just read. The apostle Peter just preached a sermon to us. They devoted themselves to that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so should we. So should we. We want to be like the early Christians, do we not? You hear that all the time. We need to go back to the early church. We need to do it like they did it in the book of Acts. Okay, let's do it like the book of Acts. Let's devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Devote ourselves to the Word of God. We have the apostolic teaching here in the New Testament. We need to be devoted to that as well as all of God's Word. How will you be devoted to the apostolic teaching this year? One of the reasons that I preach this sermon every year is to again urge you to take up the book above all books. I give away lots of books. I encourage people reading books. But I hope you know that that giving away of books is connected to the book. Because all the books I give away help you understand the book and are filled with the book. But we need to give ourselves above all to the reading of the Bible. To the reading of the Scripture. And be devoted to the Word of God. Point number four. The Word of God points us to Jesus and His death and resurrection. Peter, preaching again in Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 26. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets. The Old Testament preaches Christ what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer. The prophets foretold that Christ would suffer. Beloved, do you realize that Christ suffered for you, that you might never suffer what you deserve? I was blown away this morning. You know, we just celebrated the Reformation this past week. I was blown away by my friend Martin Luther. Martin Luther said this, "Hear this, beloved, so then gaze at the heavenly picture of Christ, who descended into hell for your sake and was forsaken by God as one eternally damned when He spoke the words on the cross, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' In that picture, your hell is defeated and your uncertain election is made sure." Christian, do you know that? That Jesus suffered for you. He suffered the pains of hell for you. That your hell is now defeated and you will never suffer the pains of hell. And your election is made sure. This is good news. And this is what the apostles preached, that His Christ would suffer. And he goes on. Verse 19, so what should we do? Verse 19 of chapter 3. Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets long ago. He spoke about Christ and His death and resurrection by all the holy prophets long ago. Moses said that the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. The Word of God points us to Jesus and His death and resurrection. Do you want to go deeper with Jesus? Do you want to go deeper into the gospel power in your life? Then go to the Word of God. This is what the early church did. Pick up and read. Study the Word to see Christ. Peter also in Acts chapter 10:43 says, to him all the prophets bear witness, to Jesus all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. All the prophets bear witness to what Jesus has done, that people might be forgiven of their sins. Friend, you who are here this morning, have you been forgiven of your sins? The early church over and over again testified that the only way that you can be forgiven of your sins is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so we ask the gospel question, right? Why should God let you into heaven if you died tonight? What would you say? And again, people say, I've done this, I've done that. And we know the right answer. It's on the back of your bulletin. Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven because I'm a sinner. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, came and lived a perfect life. He died on that cross where he suffered the wrath of God. He rose on the third day. And Lord, I've believed in him. And so Jesus and his perfect life is my only hope to go to heaven. Friend, that's the gospel. And we want you to believe that today. If you're here this morning and you've not believed in Jesus, I want to talk to you. I'll be here afterwards. You can come over for lunch. There are other Christians here. We want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He is my only hope and he is your only hope. And the Word of God preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified. Point number five, the Word of God annoys people and may get you put in jail. The Word of God annoys people and may get you put in jail. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And as they, and that they refers to Peter and John, were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed. You see that? The Word of God annoys people. Greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody. Beloved, if we are faithful to this word and we speak this word, especially in the public square, you're going to annoy people. You're going to make people really mad. You're going to lose friends. And someday you may be put in jail. Like in the book of Acts. The Word of God annoys people and may get you put in jail. But you see, true believers will follow what God says, right? True believers will follow what God says no matter what. And we want to be prepared for that day. We need to know the Word of God, know it well, so that we know what we're giving our lives to. Point number six, the Word of God is used by God to save sinners. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the very next verse. After it says they were arrested and put them in custody, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. The Word of God is used by God to save sinners. This is why we preach the Word. This is why we speak the Word. This is why we are so fixated on the Word, because the Bible teaches us, the book of Acts, the early church teaches us that it's through the Word of God that people are saved. They're brought from darkness into God's marvelous light. And I read something this week that blew my mind by one of my friends who's a pastor, Matthew Holst. He says this, "Is it not remarkable that those Jews who witnessed the life of Christ," I want you to hear this, "they witnessed the life of Christ. They saw Jesus in the flesh. They witnessed what he did. They were there. They witnessed the life of Christ. They witnessed the miracles." People say, "I'd believe in God if I just saw a miracle." They witnessed the miracles of Jesus. They saw him raise the dead and make the blind see. They saw the miracles of Jesus. They heard him teach like no man ever taught. Even the crucifixion in which they took part, they witnessed. Perhaps even some saw some of the resurrection appearances. But They only came to faith when Peter preached the word. That's amazing. That should blow your socks off right now. They saw the risen Christ. They saw the miracles of Jesus. But until Peter preached the word, like I'm doing now, only then did they come to faith in Jesus. Friend, this is why we put so much emphasis on the written and spoken word of God the Almighty. That is amazing. The word of God is used by God to save sinners. Point number 7. The word of God must be proclaimed with prayer and boldness. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. And now, Lord, the disciples are praying. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. I mean, they're being threatened by the authorities. And what is their prayer? Help us keep speaking the word of God with boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do when they're filled with the Holy Spirit? What effect does being filled with the Holy Spirit have on somebody? It's not falling down and flailing like a fish. People have all these ideas of what it means for the Holy Spirit to be present in a service. It means some kind of emotional experience of crying tears and flailing around and people dropping out like crazy. Oh, the Holy Spirit's here. What does the Bible say happens when people are filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. And they continue to speak the word of God with boldness. That's what happens. When people are filled with the Holy Ghost, they speak the Bible with boldness for the glory of King Jesus. Amen. The Word of God must be proclaimed with prayer. We have to ask God, Lord, fill us with the Spirit. Lord, give us a love for the Word of God. Lord, give us boldness. Help us faithfully and biblically and boldly proclaim the Word of God. It must be done with prayer and boldness. Number 8, the Word of God will not be contained by prison doors. The Word of God will not be contained by prison doors. Acts 5, 19 through 21. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them, and that them is referring to the apostles, brought them out and said, go. What does the Lord say to do? Go. And stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. When God, the word of God can't be contained by prison doors. God will get them out and tell them, go keep preaching my word. And it's called the word of this life. The word that gives life. The word of God cannot be contained by prison doors. And this is still true today. Number 9, the Word of God is more important than feeding the hungry. The Word of God is more important than feeding the hungry. Acts 6, verses 1 through 4. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And so some widows, the most needy in society, were being neglected from getting food. And the 12 summoned the full numbers of the disciples and said, get this, this ought to blow your socks off too. It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Just let that land on you. People are hungry. Widows, the most weak and helpless and needy in society, do not have food. And what do the apostles say? Let's start a soup kitchen. No. We cannot help them and neglect the word of God being preached. We cannot. We cannot neglect the preaching of the word of God to go serve tables. Now, they did take care of the problem. they did take care of the problem. They delegated that someone else do this. And so let's keep reading. It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. And so they took care of the problem. They delegated it to other people in the church. You will take care of this problem. We're not going to let anybody go hungry. You're going to take care of this problem, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. We'll talk about prayer in another sermon later this month, Lord willing. But they gave themselves. They cannot stop preaching the Word and being devoted to the Word that God had called them to do in order to feed the hungry. The Word of God is more important than feeding the hungry. Number 10, the Word of God is living. It's our life, and it's life-giving. Stephen gave a speech to Jewish leaders who would, after the speech, stone him to death. But he mentions Moses and the giving of the law in Acts chapter 7, verse 38. And he says this, "This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received living oracles to give us." This ain't no dead book. This ain't no dead book. It's alive. It's alive. Living oracles were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Living oracles. The Bible is alive. The Word of God is alive. Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Hebrews 4:12, that we thought about last week, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Bible ought to be reading us right now. When you read the Bible, it ought to be reading you. I made a comment last week on this passage, Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to make sure there's no misunderstanding. I was quoting from my pastor, former pastor, Mark Dever, who recently at a young pastor's conference was talking about how we view the act of preaching, both as a pastor and a congregation. And he made the point, he's making a point that the Word of God will judge. And so that the pastor, it's not that I'm performing right now, and you all are sitting out there as judges, and you'll give me a 10 or give me an 8 and stop by and tell me how great the sermon was or how bad it was. That's not what's happening. But through the preaching of God's word faithfully, you and I will be judged based on whether we do what it says. And that's true. Now, what that doesn't mean is that you can't give me helpful feedback on my sermon, how I could be more helpful, or if I say something that wasn't nice or kind or wasn't biblical, then you should come and tell me. You should critique me. You should help me preach better. I want to invite that. What I said does not negate that. But what I said means that when any minister, faithful minister, preaches the Word of God, it is us who will be judged by the Word. By whether we're just hearers or whether we will be hearers and doers. And Jesus himself said, Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That always blows me away to think when Jesus, the Son of God, God come in the flesh, when he does warfare against the devil, he goes to Scripture and says, "It is written." And he quotes from the Bible. How much more, if that's what the Son of God does, how much more should we know the written Word of God and quote the written Word of God to Satan to overcome his temptations? The Word of God is living. It's our life. And it's life-giving. It's through the Word of God and the power of the Spirit that we come to life and know Christ. Number 11, the Word of God spreads because of persecution. Look at Acts 8, 1 and 4. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So who was scattered? Everybody except the apostles. In verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. So if anybody ever tells you these false ideas that it's the apostles' job to share the gospel and preach the word, or it's just the pastor and the elders who are supposed to be doing the evangelism, or it's just, that's not true. The apostles weren't spread. The rest of the church was spread, and the rest of the church went around preaching the word. And so persecution caused the word to spread. Tertullian said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Sometimes God uses persecution of his people to get the word out. And that's how we ought to view what's happening in our country when people come. When refugees come, when people come from other countries, we ought to rejoice and seek to share the gospel with them. We have not gone to Syria, so Syrians are coming to us. And so let's befriend them. Let's invite them into our homes. Let's love them. And love will inevitably share the good news of Jesus. There's a crazy statistic out there that so many international students who come to colleges, they never get invited into an American home. Never. May it not be so with us. May we be hospitable and inviting people and loving people with the Word of God. Number 12, the Word of God received is a sign that God is at work. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the Word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles learned that these folks in Samaria had received the word of God. And so this is something to take note of. God must be at work. We're going to send Peter and John down because something's going on. They have received the word. Beloved, the word of God received is a sign that God is at work. The Bible was absolutely boring to me until I got saved. If you find in your life that God's Word is boring to you and you only pick it up on Sunday morning, which is what I did, it may very well be that you are not born again. It may be that you're not born again. It may not be. I struggle times of not wanting to read the Scripture and being bored with Scripture. And all that is a reflection of my own sinful heart. And I have to pray, God, take this away. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me that I find your amazing word boring. Forgive me, Lord. Bring the joy back, Lord. But one effect that happened when I was saved is I wanted to read this book. I wanted to devour this book. And you can hear that testimony over and over and over again of people who come to Christ and they devour this book because the Spirit is in them and the pure milk of the Word feeds the baby Christian more, more, more. I remember when my roommate at college, he was a Roman Catholic and he did all the important Roman Catholic holidays and went to the masses and things like this. But I didn't believe he was a Christian. I remember we graduated from college and I was living in Newport, Rhode Island. He invited me over for dinner one night. And I'm sitting there with him and he's explained to me something has happened to him. Something radical has happened to him. And he says, Joseph, I do something now I've never done in my life. I take my lunch break and I get alone and I read the Bible. I've never done that, but I love doing that. I love God's Word. I love to read. And I'm thinking to myself, he's been born again. He's been born again. This is what happens when you're born again. There's this love for the Word of God. The Word of God received is a sign that God is at work. Number 13, the word of God being spoken is one of the greatest acts of acts. The word of God spoken is one of the greatest acts of acts. I was doing a little research. Why is the book of Acts called the book of Acts? And some think it originally didn't have a title. In the second century, the title Acts of the Apostles got stuck to it. And some have said, well, yes, it's the Acts of the Apostles. There's this great focus on Peter, and then there's this great focus on Paul and what they did. But really, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And amen to all that. It's the Acts of God. The greatest act of Acts is the preaching of the Word of God. Acts 8:25. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Acts 11:19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word. Acts 13:5. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Acts 13:7. He, the false prophet Bar-Jesus, was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Acts 14:25. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. Acts 15:35. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Acts 15:36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Acts 16:32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Acts 17:13. The Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also. Acts 19:10. All the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Acts 19:20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. All over the book of Acts, you see the word of God, the word of the Lord, the scripture, the written and spoken word of God going forth and God changing lives through it. And you ask, why do we emphasize the Bible so much at the church? Because we love Jesus and we want to be obedient to His Word. And we look at the book of Acts and we look at the New Testament church. The Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord. The Word of God being spoken is one of the greatest acts of acts. Number 14, the Word of God tells us the good news about Jesus. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch. For all of you who encounter people who say Christianity is a white man's religion, take them to Acts chapter 8 and take them to the Ethiopian eunuch. Where's Ethiopia? Africa. One of the first converts of the church that's highlighted in the book of Acts chapter 8 is an Ethiopian. And Jesus wasn't white. That's a side note. The Word of God tells us the good news about Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verses 32 through 35. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture, Isaiah 53. He told him the good news about Jesus. Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus more than anyone else? Do you want to hear Jesus? Do you want to commune with Jesus? Friends, the apostles, when they wanted to tell somebody about Jesus, they preached the scripture. And they told people about Jesus in the Word of God. The Word of God tells us the good news about Jesus. Number 15, the Word of God works through the power of the Holy Spirit to save sinners. Acts 10:44-45. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. All who heard the word and the gift of the Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The Spirit and the word work together to save sinners. What is another name for the Bible? The Word of God. The sword of what? The sword of the Spirit. You can't drive a wedge between the Holy Ghost and the Word. The Word is the sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God, the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, saves sinners. Number 16, the Word of God will always be triumphant and will give God all the glory, honor, and praise. We see this picture of a very proud man named Herod in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 through 24. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But notice verse 24. But the word of God increased and multiplied. The word of God will not be stopped by any oppressive ruler who takes all glory for himself and thinks he's great and thinks he's the greatest everything. Herod, in this case, you may be able to apply that to other people. The word of God will not be stopped. The Word of God will continue, and the Word of God will give glory to God. All glory to God. The French philosopher named Voltaire, he hated Christianity. And he made comments like, "There will come a day when people will no more read this Bible." The ironic thing is that years later, many decades later, a man named Henri Tronchin, who is the president of the Evangelical Society of Geneva, actually lived in Voltaire's old house and used a room in Voltaire's house to store Bibles and Christian literature. Voltaire is dead. God's word will go on. God's word has its critics everywhere. Oh, there's errors in the Bible. Oh, you can't trust the scriptures. The Muslims say, oh, it's been corrupted. Those are all lies. Here's the free apologetic answer to all those questions. They're all lies. And if you want books on those, there are men much smarter than me and women much smarter than me who have answered all the questions. But they're all lies. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Friends, true Christians believe that. True Christians believe that. The Word of God will always be triumphant and will give God all the glory, honor, and praise. Number 17, the Word of God is captivating, not boring. The Word of God is captivating, not boring. Acts 13:44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the Word of the Lord. Almost the whole city gathered to hear the Word of the Lord. The Word of God is not boring. It is captivating. And you may find it boring, and that may mean you're not born again. As Spurgeon has said, some of you have enough dust on your Bibles to write the word damnation on it with your finger. May that not be said of us. May our Bibles be worn and torn so that you know that guy's reborn, as one artist has written. The Word of God is not boring, it's captivating. And I already told you, sometimes I find my heart cold and dead toward the things of God, and I have to repent. Lord, please take away this coldness of heart. It's not a problem with the words of God. It's a problem with me and my heart. Lord, let me thirst and hunger for Your Word, for You. Number 18, the Word of God is to be glorified, and it saves all who God chooses to save. Acts 13:48 and 49. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. They glorified the word of the Lord. They honored the word of the Lord. They submitted to the word of the Lord and obeyed the word of the Lord. And everyone God chose was saved. Everyone He appointed to eternal life believed, and the word was spreading throughout the region. The word of God is to be glorified, and it saves all whom God chooses to save. Point number 19, the word of God preaches God's grace. Acts 14:3, they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of His grace. We learn about the grace of God in His word. It's called here the word of His grace, the gospel. God loves sinners. God loves you. He's given you His Son. He's given you His word. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. He's given you some call it a love letter, this love book that He wants you to pursue Him in, to take up and read and get to know Him and grow in Him. He tells you about His grace and His mercy. All throughout this book, I remember a time when it was the darkest times in my life and I wanted to die. I just wanted to die. I had thoughts of suicide, just depressed. And part of it had to do that I was convinced that I was not God's elect. I was not chosen. I was going to go to hell. There's nothing I could do to change it. And I said, God, You got to show me. You got to show me in Your Word somewhere. You got to show me. You got to speak to me. You got to show me that even though You pronounce judgment, You choose to have mercy. Because every time I read Your Word, I feel judged. And He began to give me verses. He showed me, the first one He showed me was Jonah. The first one He took me to was the book of Jonah, where Jonah's sermon to Nineveh was, in 40 days you will be overthrown. That's all. There was no, if you repent, I'll save you. It was just, you're done. You're toast. 40 days, you're done. Because that's what I was feeling from the Word of God. Just judgment. That's all I felt. And that's what Jonah preached. But what did God do? He granted them repentance. They repented. They turned from their sin. And you have that glorious verse. Now, Jonah's mad about this. But he says, Jonah says, Lord, I knew You would be merciful. I knew You were a merciful God. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that You relent from doing harm. And that's what brought me out of this depression. That God has mercy even though He's pronounced judgment. He showed me Peter. Jesus told Peter, if you deny Me before men, I will deny you before My Father in heaven. And what did Peter do? He denied Jesus, not only before men, but before a little girl. Not once, not twice, but three times with cursing and swearing. And what did Jesus do? He had mercy. Peter wept bitterly. And you see them by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus says, Peter, do You love Me? Peter, do You love Me? Peter, do You love Me? And Peter finally says, Lord, You know all things. You know I love You. And He restores Peter. He has mercy. The Word of God communicates grace. God has a mercy heart. He has a mercy heart for all who come and trust in Him. He will be merciful. He will forgive. He will save. Don't be depressed. Don't walk away from Him like I almost did in despair. But see His grace and mercy as you take up and read this year that He's loving and merciful and gracious. And He will save. Number 20, the Word of God should be studied and examined eagerly. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the Word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They received the Word with eagerness. Do you receive the Word with eagerness? Both in your own personal and private times, but also are you eager to come here on the Lord's day to receive the Word? Is anything going to hold you back from being here? Right? We got to get to work, right? I mean, we wouldn't think of not going to work because I just need a day. We wouldn't think about that because we need that money. But Sunday, oh, God understands. I'll just take a day off. Does He understand? We ought to be eager for the Word. The Word preached. The Word read. The Word studied. We ought to be eager. And if you're not, then go to the Lord about it. Lord, I'm not eager. The first excuse I can make about not going here or doing this or not reading my Bible, I make it. Well, I had to do this. Or is it like, nothing gonna hold me back? Nothing. Nothing is more important than being with God's people on the Lord's Day to hear the Word preached. Nothing is more important in my day than taking up and reading. Nothing. This is my life. May God make us that eager. Like the Thessalonians to receive the Word. And notice they examined the Scriptures. It's not just this, you know. They examined. They were hearing the preaching of the Word and they said, I got to make sure this is right. That's why I encourage you, bring your Bibles when you come eagerly and have them open so that you can hear what I'm saying and examine to see if what Pastor Joseph is saying is there and true and right. These Thessalonian Christians, they did that. They examined the Scriptures daily. The Word of God should be studied and examined eagerly. Number 21, the Word of God proclaims that Jesus is the Christ. Acts 18:5, Paul was occupied with the Word. There he is again. Paul, there it is again. Paul was occupied with the Word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. What does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? We learn that from the Bible. It means Jesus is King. That's what it means. Christ is King. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Messiah. He's the anointed one. And just like David, the king, was anointed, Jesus is the anointed King of Kings, the greater Son of David. And we learn this from the Word of God. The Word of God proclaims that Jesus is King. And so if you want to know Jesus, take up and read. 22, the Word of God is central to the Christian life and must be taught patiently. Paul in Corinth, in Acts 18:11, describes what Paul did, and he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the Word of God among them. What did Paul give himself to? Teaching the Word of God among them for a year and a half. The Word of God must be taught patiently over time. You may be trying to witness to someone or reach out to somebody. Be patient. Share the Word of God and be patient. Text them the Word of God. I remember hearing the testimony of this Brian Head Welch. He was the lead guitarist for this wicked band called Korn. And these men that he was interacting in with a real estate deal would email him just Scripture. And God used that. God used that. We must teach people patiently with the Word of God like Paul. The Word of God, number 23, is able to make you more like Christ and keep you faithful to God. Acts 20:32. And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The Word of His grace is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, set apart, being made holy. The Word of God is able to do this. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you want to be more humble, more loving, more faithful? Take up and read. Take up and read. Jesus Himself prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. It is through the Word of God that God makes us more like Jesus. And so take up and read. 24, the Word of God must be the center of our evangelism. Acts 17:2-3, and Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures. We use the Bible in evangelism. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to know all the answers to atheists and all of these people who bring accusation against the Word of God and against Christianity. You don't have to know all the answers. Just always go back to, are you a sinner? Have you sinned? The Bible says you have. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you know there's a sin bearer? His name is Jesus, and he died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Just keep using the Bible. Just use the Scripture. And God will save. I've used this illustration before, but one of my former seminary professors, he gave the illustration about being in his home with a shotgun, and some intruder is trying to come in and harm him and his family, and he pulls the shotgun out, and he doesn't try to convince the robber that the shotgun is lethal and dangerous. Do you see this shotgun? Do you know how big these shells are? Do you know how big a hole this will put in your belly if you don't stop? Who does that? You just pull the trigger. Boom! And there's safety. The intruder stopped. It's the same with the Word of God. You don't have to explain to people that this is really the Word of God. You don't have to convince them that God is real and the Bible is the Word of God before you use it. Just pull the trigger. Just quote the Bible. And God will use His Word to awaken people from the dead. The Word of God must be the center of our evangelism. Paul did it before Agrippa in Acts 26, preaching the Word of God to Agrippa. And finally, number 25, the Word of God enables us to be bold witnesses for Jesus and helpful to the saints. Acts 18, 24 and 26 through 28. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, that the Christ was Jesus. Do you want to be a bold witness for Jesus, like Apollos? Then get competent in the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Give yourself to the study of God's Word. On your knees praying. Do you want to be helpful to the saints? Do you want to be a counselor? I pray God would raise up counselors among us that we're helping one another know what it means to be Christians. Christians as a mother, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a single, as a young believer. Do you want to have wisdom and help other believers? Then grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. Grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. The Word of God enables us to be bold witnesses for Jesus and helpful to the saints. The written and spoken Word of God points us to the Word made flesh. This is why we emphasize the Bible and Scripture so much, is we want Jesus. We want Christ. We want God. We want more of God, more of Him. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And over again, we have seen in the book of Acts that it is the written and spoken Word of God that makes the Word made flesh known. It is the written and spoken Word of God that helps us know and understand Jesus. It is the written and spoken Word of God that helps us see and trust and love and obey and delight in and follow Jesus. We read the Word of God because we want more of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We read and study and meditate and memorize and hear the Word of God because we want God. He is our treasure. He is our joy. He is our delight. The Word of God, the Word made flesh, must still increase. The God-man's famous, we decrease. He took God's wrath to grant us peace and rose again to make death cease. Now His Word's our centerpiece. We grasp and read and won't release. more valuable than golden piece. By it were made his masterpiece. So speak his word. It's God's mouthpiece. And in your life, Christ will increase. Father, we pray that your word would have its intended effect on us. Lord, as we've seen from the book of Acts, the centrality of your word and the power of your word and the supremacy of your word, we do pray, Holy Spirit, you would come upon us and excite us and encourage us and empower us to take up and read your word and give ourselves to the being present here to hear the word preached, to being at Bible studies and learning and reading books saturated with your word, but learning your word and reading your word and meditating on your word. We pray, oh God, that we as a church would give ourselves to the study of your word in 2020 like we never have before. And we ask, oh God, that all that you did in the book of Acts, you would do again here at Olney Baptist Church beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. Because, Lord, we want you. Father, we love you. We want to know you more. Jesus, we love you. We want to know you more. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we want to know you more. We want more of you. And so, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts and move us to pursue Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in His Word. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.